open God's Word together. Our text this morning is from 2 Corinthians 12, reading from verses 1 through 10. Paul's talking about his vision, his thorns. It's in the middle of, talking about all that he has endured and the some of the heavy things he's had to carry. And sort of we're in the middle of that speech, and he says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our text this morning was one chosen by a member of our congregation a number of months ago, as we did a series on life passages. And we didn't have, I received like 5 or 6 passages, and we only had about 3 weeks to do it. So I thought, as we begin to gear up for Lent, it's a good time to pull out some of these. And this is a very powerful passage that meant a lot to this person. So let's reflect on it together. Now, when we as a church remember that the Apostle Paul, we usually think of him as possibly the brightest light that God has ever used. He planted numerous churches all over the ancient world. He was key to bridging the gap between Jews and Gentiles, and in making clear that what God was doing was through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. 14 of the 27 books in the New Testament, just over half, have traditionally been attributed to Paul. And when we read the book of Acts, half of that book deals with Paul's life and his works. He was one that God was using in amazing ways. He was like a blazing searchlight that God was using to call the world to him. But when we open these letters, especially this, his second letter to the Corinthians, we hear pretty loudly that he didn't think of himself that way. He recognized God was doing great things, but he didn't think it was about him. He was just one more follower of Jesus working to carry the cross that God had given him and following his Lord. In our text, he says openly that he prefers not to boast. He prefers to boast not in his strength, but in his weaknesses. And why? I don't think he saw himself as particularly strong. If he was given a heavy cross to bear, it was one that he felt was far too heavy for him to carry alone, that he fell beneath its weight and he suffered terribly. We hear in Scripture some of the tears even that he shed. He wept at the intensity of the struggle. Simply to obey God and do what God was calling him to do was so heavy. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, he says, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears In the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jews. And in 2 Corinthians 2, earlier in this book, he says, "For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you." He carried a burden for the church. He cared deeply for her. He cried. He wept for her. How heavy was the cross that Paul was given? In chapter 11, he shares just a short list of what he had to endure. "I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes. In danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. If I must boast, I must boast of the things that show my weakness. Trouble followed him everywhere. Obeying Christ meant that he had to endure so much, and he had to carry this tremendous weight. And there was even a burden on his heart for the people that he came across. And the burdens that they were carrying, he felt so deeply that he cried with them." In this letter, we hear more of the burden, this cross he had to carry. Paul struggles against people going after his reputation. In the church in Corinth, there was a group of people that were trying to discredit him, saying that he was boring. He wasn't one to fire their blood. He wasn't charismatic. They also didn't like his letters. They accused him of trying to frighten them. So they went after him. They accused him of being a second-rate apostle, even attacking him personally, as though that they accused him of playing devious games, being fickle, unbalanced, or a fraud. And then, on top of all that, Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh that God gave him, a messenger of Satan, an extra burden that he does not spell out, but which caused him great trouble. And it was heavy enough, this thorn, to drive him to his knees to ask why. Why, Lord, must, on top of everything else you're asking me to do, why do I have to carry this? Why? Why this burden? Well, Paul's journey is so extreme. It is a long ways off of our experience. When we look at the history of the church, we know that there are many, many devout Christians. Many of those who have gone before us, that God has given heavy crosses to, but that he also used in powerful ways. Just a very short list. John Calvin, one of where we trace our roots as a church, in as this great teacher and theologian. His whole life he battled with, he had a very frail constitution. He had a tough time getting by. And even in his, even in his payment, as the church would try to help him with this, because they gave him a heavy, strong, it was part of his paycheck even, was wine. Wine to help him get by. It was because it just helped soothe some of the struggle that he had physically. William Wilberforce, too, was one who he struggled so long and hard against the slave trade in Britain that he grew quite sickly. He carried that burden physically, and it just was tearing him apart. Corrie ten Boom, losing a sister in a concentration camp. C.S. Lewis, as he lost his wife, Joy, to cancer. That terrible burden. But these were all heavy crosses that were enough to force even these very strong Christians to their knees, asking the question loudly, why? Most of us have been there too. Sometimes we carry a cross that feels too large for our fragile frame. It is in the prayers of the struggling parent. Lord, I'm worried that I might not be doing a good job with my kids. Honestly, this would go so much better if I wasn't such a mess myself. Or bearing burdens like depression, when dark clouds are always there, and every hour can just go on and on, with hope and happiness somehow buried deep in the pile of laundry. We carry burdens from the past that haunt us. Some of us have experienced the pain and hurt of abuse, wounds from past relationships that have damaged us, that hurt our ability to trust someone else. We carry these crosses. Or perhaps, like Paul, we carry a thorn that causes us special pain, a burden that, like him, we prefer not to show or to share with others, where we feel the whispers and tugs of Satan, and we find ourselves hobbled in the work that we're trying to do. We're always struggling with it in the background. In the middle of that, we are reminded that Jesus calls his followers the light of the world. He says, "You are the light of the world." He calls himself the light of the world, but he turns to his disciples and says, "You are the light of the world." But if we are a light, most of the time it feels like we are a flickering candle. We are barely hanging on ourselves. Don't look at me. No, I'm no searchlight blazing light for my Lord. Most of the time I am just barely making it. But perhaps that is why we were chosen. Not because we are strong flames burning bright and true, but because we are flickering, struggling to stay alive so that his power might be shown all the greater in us. Paul's thorn drove him to his knees, and he begged 3 times for an answer, he says. And here is the message Paul received. It says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. He says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This thorn I have given you, this cross that you carry, this burden, it is to show you your limits, so that you may see with greater clarity the beauty and power of what I am going to do in you. This is the message that Paul aims to communicate. I mean, Paul, really, he's talking to a church. He could go on and on about his criticism, his achievements, right? He's being attacked personally by people. And he could respond in anger. He could say, "You dare to criticize me? Look at all that I've accomplished. I planted 3 churches just in the past year alone." But instead, he boasts in his weaknesses. So as to say, instead of that, instead of, "Look at who I am and what I've done, how dare you question me," he says, "Look at what God is doing. Look at my weakness and see his strength. See what God is doing. I am only the Lord's servant. He's doing great things in me despite the fact that I'm not a great preacher, or that I'm not particularly eloquent, or that I'm not a great writer, that I say things wrong. It's okay." Paul decides to boast in his weakness. And in doing that, he boasts in God's strength. It is not about him, it is about what God is doing in him. In his first letter to the church in Corinth, right, Paul encourages them with exactly this kind of message. He says to them, "Brothers and sisters, think of when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, so that no one may boast before Him. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Some of us may remember when in 1 Kings, God came and He was speaking to Elijah. And Elijah was His servant who was just worn out by trying to carry this heavy burden. And as he goes, God calls him up onto a mountainside and he's hiding in a cave. And as he's there, there's a great storm outside. There is lightning, there is fire. And in all of that, Elijah is listening for God to speak. But God decides not to speak in the thunder. He doesn't speak in the fire or the lightning. He speaks in a gentle whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? God chooses to speak in small ways. He chooses small people and means. He chooses those of us who are small and humble, who are weak, who do not have what it takes to do great things. This is the good news for us today. These are God's words to us. In our weakness, in carrying our heavy burdens, God says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." A few years ago, I heard the testimony of a doctor in Florida. And he had been working on this man in the hospital. And he had tried everything for weeks. He had pulled out all the stops. He had really just sunk himself into this. He'd pulled out every craft he knew, every angle he could work. And it had been a long and hard fight. Nothing had worked. He was worn out. And finally, he was forced to walk out of the room and say, "There's nothing more to be done for this man. I've done all I can. I can't do this. I can't save him." But as he left that room, he received a powerful prod from God, a poke. And God said to him, "Go back into that room and simply pray over him." And so he went in, he went back into the room, and he just said a prayer asking God to heal him and received a miracle. The man was healed. There was no explanation for how it happened. It was no special procedure. He was healed. He, a professional, had gone in and done everything he could, and it had not been enough so that God could do a miracle. And he became a witness to that. But it was only until this doctor had tried everything, until he had been driven to his knees to pray, until he had acknowledged that he couldn't do it, that God could finally show his power. As we're thinking about this, I mean, I've talked a little bit about us as being a flickering flame, right? And a flickering, a little candle, particularly if it's not burning very bright, doesn't give a lot of light. But I want you to think about a flashlight. If you get a flashlight, there is just a very small bulb in there. Very, very small. But from that bulb, because of the way it's designed with all the mirrors and everything, that bulb is able to be turned into a searchlight. It becomes very, very powerful because of what's surrounding it. And I would suggest that this is what God does for us. We may be very, very small, pinprick of light. We may be struggling even to stay alive in our faith and what we're doing. But God can take and use even us very small, weak, foolish, frail creatures and do amazing, beautiful. He can call to the world through us. We can be the light of the world, and it's not because of how strong we are, but of how strong He is. People of God, As followers of Jesus, we are here. We too take up crosses to follow Jesus on the path he calls to us. He calls us. And sometimes those crosses can be too heavy for us to carry. We carry burdens of great responsibility that God has given us, like leadership in the church, parenting, teaching, hospitality, working for justice in our broken world, or simply loving our neighbors. God gives us heavy crosses sometimes, and we carry a burden of brokenness and sin alongside that, thorns that irritate, distract us, and make whatever work we're trying to do, it's like we're limping along because we are carrying these, we've got this digging into our side somewhere. But God, the good news is that, you know, God leaves these burdens on us so that his power is more clearly seen. Paul endured an incredible amount of difficulty, and this made him very aware of his weakness and his frailty. And in the midst of that weakness, Paul learned a powerful lesson. God said to him, "This is not about you. This is not about what you have done. This mighty work is being done by me." Our God turns flickering flames into a searchlight. His grace is sufficient for us, and by his power, we are able to persevere under the weight of whatever cross we are shouldering. That is our testimony. We are a people who are weak, who falter, and who fail. But we have a God who steps in alongside us to help us carry these burdens by his grace. In our weakness, his strength is shown. All God's people said, Amen. I guess there was one thing I was thinking I would throw in here, but we have a very, very small little light that God